All right, welcome back. I hope everybody had a beautiful, restful Shabbos. We're continuing in our journey through the Animamim, the 13 principles of faith, and we are ready to start principle number 3. At this rate, we should be done in about 4 to 5 weeks. We're doing great. You guys are awesome. This one reads as follows: Animamim be'amuna shalema, I believe with complete faith, shehabore yisbarach shemo. Again, the reference here referring to God as the Creator, blessed is His name. Eino guf, he has no body. V'lo yasiguhu misage haguf, nor is he affected in any way, shape, or form by physical phenomenon. V'ein lo shum dimyon klal, and there is no comparison whatsoever to him. Obviously, we're going to have to break this down, but the Rambam here is extremely clear. God has no body. God has no form. God has no image. Does not contain any physical attributes, is not affected by any physical occurrences like walking, sitting, resting, moving. Moshe recounting towards the end of the 40-year sojourn in the desert. Moshe is recounting to the Jewish people, and in the book of Devarim, he writes the following. In the Torah, it says that Moshe is recounting it, and he says, let me get the right phrase here. He says, "V'nishmartem me'od l'nafshoseichem, you shall greatly beware for your souls, for you did not see any likeness on the day Hashem spoke to you at Horeb," referring to Mount Sinai, "from the midst of the fire. You may have heard God, you may have had some kind of revelation about God, but you did not see anything physical. God has no physical form. Therefore, God is not bound by anything physical." One can even argue, maybe we'll talk about this in the next principle, that God is not bound by time. Time is a creation. Therefore, you cannot use the words beginning, end, a certain age. None of that applies to a God because those are all within physical terms. Why can't God have physical properties, or why can't God have a body? So two very simple answers. One is because we've already established, right, that when God, well, let me say it this way, there is no comparison or similarity between God and any of his creations. If God had certain physical qualities, if God had certain physical attributes, then there would be some form of comparison or similarity with some of his creations. We established back in principle number 2, hu yachid, that he is unique, one. The Ein Yechidus Kamohu Bishum Panim, and there is no oneness and uniqueness like his, which means nothing in our world shares properties with God. So God having physical properties would by definition negate that principle, because then we would have some things in similarity, which cannot be. It would also mean that God would be finite, because nothing in the physical world lasts forever. God would then be divisible, because everything in the physical world is divisible. God would be limited in some capacity, which runs counter to what we already established in principle number 2. So one reason why God can't have any physical properties or a body is because then there would be a likeness to us and would be limiting to what God is. Interestingly, in the beginning of the book of Joshua, some of it might be familiar to you, because there Joshua uses the expression Ki Hashem Elokechem, because God, Hashem your God, Hu Elokim, He is God, Bashamayim Mima'al Ve'al Ha'aretz Mitachas. He is both up in heaven above and down here on earth. I don't know about you folks, but I've been trying for years to figure out how to be in two places at one time. Here, Joshua describes God as being both in heaven and on earth at the same time. We cannot do that. And therefore, if we were to say that God is physical and can't be in two places at one time, we would again be limiting God. Not only that, but I read a fascinating article that opens Pandora's box. Because if you go ahead and you say that God is physical and therefore can only be in one place at one time, that opens the door for a person to say, I can escape God, because all I got to do is figure out where he's not at any given moment, and I quote unquote escape God. Well, that's a no can do. Therefore, to go ahead and to limit God and to say that he has any physical properties would run counter to the idea of what it is, and therefore it can't fly based on what we said. But the obvious question that everybody here should be asking is that if you've ever even read the Torah anywhere in Tanakh, in the entire compendium of Jewish writings, you find all over the place where God is referred to with human terms. He's described in physical terms. We just celebrated the holiday of Pesach, where we talk about God taking the Jewish people out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. We talk about the eyes of God looking. We talk about the strength, God's right hand or God's left hand. After God created the world, it says that he rested on the seventh day. We building a Mishkan, a tabernacle, so that God could dwell amongst the people. These are all physical terms. These are all describing in human terms about God. How does the Rambam deal with this? So the Rambam doesn't leave us hanging, and the Rambam writes the following. His opinion is that all references, without exception, all references to any physical description of God is merely a metaphor. It's allegorical only. Now, why? Why would you use just a metaphor, describe God for what he is? The answer is because we are the ones who are limited. We are the ones who are finite, and we have certain max capacity. God is using a language that human beings can understand. None of us can truly understand or comprehend something that is out of our ability to appreciate or understand. To help us comprehend, to help us understand, but not to be taken literally. For example, when it talks about God's eyes, well, I think we live in a day and age where it's so simple to understand why that's a necessary terminology. Here in Baltimore, we've had this fight for years, for decades, about what's called the Eye in the Sky program, of where they want to put drones up in the sky so that people, police in particular, can see what's going on. The fact that you can have a drone with a camera or a video, and we use the terminology, it's an eye in the sky, there's no eye there. There's no physical eye, but rather it's an understanding, that's an awareness that everything that happens is being watched. Everything is being seen. Does it mean that the drone has actual eyes? Of course not. Similarly, the Rambam suggests and says that is the meaning here. Whenever you see the term God's eyes, it means for us to understand that God is watching. God sees what is happening. When you see a reference to God's hands, it's talking about God's power, because you use your might, again, in human terms. It talks about the ability to guide something along. God's providence is often a symbol referred to by hands. Therefore, if you've had the opportunity to read through the various books of the prophets, each one of the Nevi'im, each one of these prophets has some different way of a vision of God, how he or she perceives God. And they use human terminology, but each one of them sees it. For example, one will see God as a man of war, taking vengeance, going out to war. Others will refer to God more like a chazan, leading a service, wearing talit. Others will refer to God wearing a different white garment. What's with all the different terminologies? Says the Rambam, they're all metaphors. They're all conveying particular messages or lessons which were relevant to that specific situation. And for us to comprehend it, God has to speak to us in language we understand. To use gibberish wouldn't do us any good, because there's a message that needs to be learned, a lesson that needs to be conveyed. If it's something that's out of our ability to comprehend, it doesn't do us any good. Therefore, the Rambam says that we go ahead and the Torah uses terminology about God that is not to be taken literal, but to help us understand and comprehend. Once you have this concept, we can come to a very cryptic conversation that takes place between Moshe and Hashem. If you want to look it up, it's in the book of Exodus in chapter 33. I'll read you just the few sentences, and I do not profess to have the full understanding. There's a lot of deep mystical stuff in it as well. But here's the conversation. Hashem says to Moshe, well, it really starts earlier, but okay, I'll just say this. Moshe says to Hashem, Hareini na et kvodecha, show me now your glory. And Hashem says, I shall make all of my goodness pass before you, and I shall call out with the name Hashem before you. I shall show favor when I choose to show favor, and I shall show mercy when I choose to show mercy. Hashem says, you will not be able to see my face, for no human can see my face and live. Hashem continues, and at the end he says, but I will show you something. Then I shall remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face may not be seen. It's a very cryptic conversation. And again, I don't have it clear yet. But one thing is abundantly clear. What we have to ask, what was Moshe asking for and what was Hashem's response? Moshe says, show me your glory. What exactly does that mean? Was it, Hashem, I want to see you when you're dressed in your beautiful royal robe. I want to see the crown on your head. What does it mean to see your glory? To which Hashem's ultimate response is, my face you cannot see because man cannot see that, but I'll show you my back. Very cryptic. So the sages point out as follows. Moshe was asking of Hashem, I want to comprehend you, your essence, as much as I can when I go meet somebody and I see them face to face. I can identify who they are. I have it clear as day that that's the person whom I'm talking to. I want to see your glory. I want to be able to see and understand and comprehend with such clarity as if I was looking you straight in the face. Hashem responds, and he says, you cannot comprehend my true essence. That's beyond any human comprehension. My face, that level of clarity, as if you were staring me in the face, it cannot be done while a human being is in a physical form. No can do. However, being that you are Moshe and you have reached certain levels that are deserving of some level of clarity, I will go ahead and I will grant you some aspect. What kind of aspect? Perhaps using the same analogy, when you see somebody walking down the street, but you see them after they've already passed you, and all you see is their back, and you like, well, it looks like so-and-so. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't know. I mean, there is some similarity to maybe that's so-and-so, but I'm not 100% sure. Hashem tells Moshe to see, quote, my face with such clarity as if you understood and comprehended my true essence. That's impossible. That no human being can see that and understand it and comprehend it and live as a physical human being. However, to see my back, to see things perhaps in retrospect and say, was that the hand of God? Yeah, that I will grant that possibility. If you're so inclined and you've gotten to shul on a Shabbos day, it doesn't matter. You can come late. You don't have my permission. But if you came late and you made it even for the very end when they sing Ein Kelokeinu or Anim Zemiros, if you've ever taken the opportunity to read the English of Anim Zemirot, you will be blown away. There's so much. We can do a whole series. I'm not suggesting I'll do it, but one can do a whole series. Fran, don't start making the flyer yet. When you have in Anim Zemiros, I'll just read the first couple of lines, but it says, Asapra kivodcha, don't make me sing it. Asapra kivodcha v'lo ri'isicha adamcha chancha v'lo yedaticha. Let's translate the words. Asapra kivodcha. I shall relate your glory, though I see you not. I shall allegorize you, I shall describe you, though I know you not. This is exactly what we're talking about. The Rambam's opinion that God has no form. The best I can do is to have an allegory. It resembles something about, but there is nothing in truth that is physical. Now, I'll go even further. Some will say, of course I understand that, Rabbi. God doesn't have physical. He's spiritual. Have you ever heard that before? God is not physical. He's spiritual. Well, let me debunk that myth now as well. God is not spiritual either. That's also an impossibility. Why? Because can we agree that an angel is a spiritual creature? Yeah, I think we can agree on that. So an angel may not have physical properties, but it is limited in time. It will only exist as long as God wills it to exist, as long as it has a job to do. Human beings are limited both in time and space. Spiritual creatures like angels may not be limited in space, but they are limited in time. To go ahead and to say that God is spiritual would again be limiting God. So God is not physical. God is not spiritual. It is for that reason that correctly, God is not a he. God is not a she, neither male nor female, because those are physical attributes. And it doesn't matter whichever one you want to use, it's wrong. God is above all of that. Therefore, just to put this in again, just to put this rounded out together, using these expressions, which the fancy word is anthropomorphic, where we assign human term to God, just allows us, and listen carefully to what I'm saying, it allows us to speak of what Hashem does in interacting with the world, not referring to what Hashem is. World of difference. It is describing God, what God does. When he does this particular action, we would classify it in human terms as getting angry, as stretching forth an arm, as expressing pleasure and joy. But it is not describing the essence of God because we can't use any terms. If you want to explore this concept further, this is the beginning step to understand the Kabbalistic terms, what's called the spherot, the spheres, where, again, these are corresponding to various limbs and organs of the human body, but what they are is the paradigm. They're the structure of varied forces working in harmony. This is the beginnings of that conversation, but it's not to be taken literally, and I don't care how many Kabbalistic books you read that will describe God as this and God as that and with this torso, and it represents. Those are nothing more than examples. They're nothing more than allegories. They're mishalim. They're parables at best, because it cannot get to the true essence of Hashem. We'll continue with this tomorrow. There's one other aspect that we need to explore, understanding that God does not have any physical body or any physical attributes. We will follow up with this again tomorrow. Any questions so far?
I have a question. So yes, when you were talking about the back, if the back is a metaphor, when we're talking about with Moses, then he saw the back, what would the back be? What would his back be?
So the back can't be anything in particular. The back only represents my understanding of, well, it certainly looks like this, but I can't say with 100% certainty. Some suggest that, you know, facing forward means you can figure, you know where you're going. When you see the back of something, that means it's already passed and now you can understand it. Similarly, there are so many times in life we want God to say, we want God to show us what's in front of us. We want God to be the magic eight ball. Just shake it one more time and get what it is you're looking for. It doesn't work that way. But sometimes we are fortunate of where, after a while, we can see at where some historical event, how it played out, and now we begin to understand how it came to be. That's seeing the back of God.
So Moses was saying things in retrospect from God.
That's one aspect of it, correct?
Okay, thank you.
All right, we good?
I'm going to post that Wednesday night class on Facebook, the Showers Facebook page, if anybody wants to see it there who hasn't seen it.
All right. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you.